Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Axiata Group's third quarter 2014 results briefing. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time if you wish to ask a question, you need to press star 1 on your telephone. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Dato Sri Jamaluddin. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome to Axiata third quarter results. I have with me my team, including my group CFO, Chari, and Adlan from Excel, and also some representatives from Telkom. As you can see on the slide two, basically the quarter and yesterday results have been quite impacted by lower Telkom performance and also from the Forex losses at Excel. In general, it's a mixed performance for this quarter. Not too good for Telkom, but pretty good from Smart, Dialog, and even to some extent, Robi. If you look at the content of the slide, revenue stable, or basically flat, but profitability down. The Q-on-Q significant increase on PATAMI is basically due to the selling of our entire stake of iSamad in Thailand. That brought in a profit of 117 million ringgit. If you look at a constant currency, however, revenue growth moderate, slightly below our own expectation, but moderate, better, much better than if without the constant currency. Year-to-date capex is about 2.7 billion. ROIC is reasonably good at 9.2% and ROC at 7.8%. As I mentioned earlier, we had a sale of Samad back in second quarter, but registered in third quarter. Looking in the next slide, a bit of a couple of highlights from the respective operating companies. As I said earlier, a challenging quarter for Telkom, for Excel to some extent, but the good news is that data growth is encouraging and many other opcos are doing quite well. As you all know, on Telkom, we had three quarters of IT issues that we were working on. Basically, as mentioned before, the issues not only impacted our ability to provide better customer services. In fact, services have declined quite considerably the last few quarters, but not only that, we were not able to launch our product, our new prepaid and postpaid products or packages since then. The good news is that basically the problems have all been resolved with a couple of minor teething issues which will not affect our front end. And because of that, we were able to launch our new prepaid product in October 16. So far, the results have been very encouraging. And so far, we are winning back the dealer's confidence, maybe not totally yet, but so far, so good. As mentioned earlier, the two-year journey completed recently. And with that, we are now able to launch new products more aggressively, even faster than ever before. And our services, in terms of our ability to serve customers and dealers, will be a lot superior than even ever before. So we are very encouraged both by our ability to do, as I mentioned, and also the last few weeks of results in fourth quarter. I've been asked to use the word cautiously optimistic for the fourth quarter. The good news is that data revenue grew 20%, but if you exclude the dongles, which is going down slightly on a negative growth, small screen grew 41%. On Excel, we have completed integration of Axis at the end of third quarter, very well, way ahead of the schedule, both in terms of timing, but also better than expected financial performance. The revenue grew 11%, fueled by the strong, very strong data revenue growth of 43%. As you know, we announced the sale of towers very recently, and that will certainly help to improve our capital structure. That will be by first quarter 2015. Following the next slide, Dialog done pretty well with a growth of 6% year-to-date,
and also PAT growth of 13%.
Robi grew also quite reasonably well, both in terms of revenue of 6% and EBITDA of 10%. In spite of the heightened competition in third quarter, last quarter, Smart did extremely well in almost every single measurement. Year-to-date performance on revenue, EBITDA, PAT grew 37%, 74%, and 19%, 197% respectively. Surprisingly, data grew extremely strong to the tune of 119%. Let's move on to the next chart. The associates fortunately also did pretty well. Idea in particular have done pretty well with the kind of revenue, EBITDA, PAT growth of 18%, 25%, and 63%. M1 did reasonably well with the service revenue growth of more or less stable, but EBITDA growth of 7% and PAT 10%. As I mentioned earlier, we have disposed the entire holdings of iMobile for $89.3 billion. With that, I pass to my group CFO, Chari, to give you a bit more details.
Thank you, Alessi. I think I'll probably repeat some of the stuff that Jamal said. Year-to-date growth of revenue is about 0.3%. And clearly, what we find is Celcom grew for the first 9 months, negative 4%. But fortunately, XL grew 11% on a local currency basis. Dialog grew 6%, Robi grew 6%, and Smart grew 37%. So on the revenue line, with the exception of Celcom, I think the rest of them have all done fairly well. The EBITDA margin is, again, the YTD growth is negative 5.9. A couple of things are impacting. One is the Celcom business performance with a negative growth of 4% is impacted, and also because of Vax's acquisition, that had an impact on the EBITDA margin. But otherwise, the rest of them are all doing extremely well. Now, on a PATAMI normalized basis, we've just eliminated the currency fluctuations as well as the one-time sale profits of 117 million profits on sale of iMobile Samart in Thailand. And in Q3, the normalized PATAMI is at about 534. ROIC stands at about 9.2. CAPEX is about 2.7 billion so far, and with a capital intensity of about 19.8, we are also seeing an operating free cash flow of about 1.5 billion. Now, just to add a little bit of color for Celcom revenue, Celcom overall revenue grew negative 3.7% or 4%, as I said earlier on, but one of our competitors grew negative almost 9%, but the other competitor within Malaysia grew 4.4%. So overall, we found that including, even if I take into consideration the U-Mobile revenue, the overall market has grown in Malaysia negative 2 percentage points. So when it comes to Indonesia, clearly we are seeing that the biggest player within Indonesia grew by about 10. The next player is grew negative 0.5%, and we grew 11%. So in terms of growth, I think Indonesia has done, XL has done well in terms of overall growth. That just gives a little more color in terms of where the revenue is coming from and where our challenges are. Moving on to the next slide, a normalized group PATAMI, the negative growth of 287, primarily coming out of Celcom, and partly on Excel basis. Even on the Excel side, it's probably more coming because of translation. The currency grew negative between last year and this year. There's a negative growth of about 11.5%, and that's the one which is impacting us a lot. So between Celcom, it's just a story of Celcom and Excel. PATAMI impacting overall 287 million for Axiata as a whole. On the group statement of financial positions, the gross debt to EBITDA stands at about 1.98, which is relatively healthy. Again, the net debt to EBITDA is also at 1.31, relatively healthy. We still have a cash balance of about 4.6 billion. even after we took into consideration the $89 million US dollars that we received selling. We've also been disposing off some of the loans that we had, especially one in RMB that we took at the Axera headquarters, and we gave away about 505 million ringgit settling that loan. So with that, I will pass this on to Dr. Sri Jamal for talking about headline KPA and also key opportunities and challenges. The presentation is over. If there are you opening it up for questions and answers?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one. Your first question comes from the line of Srini Rao from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much, Dr. Jamal and Chari. First question on Malaysian market. When do you think the market can return to a positive revenue growth overall? And secondly, on Indonesia, you know, there's headline revenue growth, but would you say the environment continues to remain a bit challenging?
Hi, good afternoon. Chris from Solcom. I think on the Malaysian market, it has been an interesting, you know, three quarters so far in 2014. And so when will we see the industry revenue stabilizing and returning to growth is quite difficult to say, I think. But, you know, at Solcom ourselves, as mentioned by Dr. Jamal, we are cautiously optimistic that we're starting to have seen the stabilization coming in the back end of Q3, and a lot more stabilization and slight growth coming into Q4 in October, November. Is that a sign of what is to be expected within the market? I think we'll have to wait and see. But at least for ourselves, you know, it's a positive sign as we move forward. But from a market point of view, it may take a bit longer to see the stabilization coming through, but I think at the end of Q4 we'll have a much better position to make a statement in the Q4 announcement.
Arlan, can you answer the Indonesian question?
Yeah, hello, this is Wim here. I think from our perspective the market remains challenging. Things are maybe not as bad as that they were 1.5-2 years ago. On the other hand, the market remains pretty competitive. And I think we should also not underestimate new players that have recently emerged. One has launched, Bolt, is a Lipo company group, with the other small player looking to go into high-speed data in the course of next year. So for the time being, things continue to be relatively challenging, I would say.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Your next question comes from the line of Anand Imachandran from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for the call. This is Anand Ramachandran from Barclays. I'm going to stay on the same two themes. Celcom, would you be able to put a handle on what caused the industry degrowth, as you said, in recent times? And is there anything specific other than data growth that can cause this to turn around? From a Celcom perspective specifically, you seem comfortable that third quarter should be around a bottom. So is that kind of accurate if I go back to your comments around the last question? So that's first. Second, from an Excel perspective, we've since had Indosat report and numbers there seem okay. So I'm still struggling to see what went wrong with Excel in the last quarter. It just seems that you're not able to raise prices. Who's taking prices down in Indonesia? And therefore, when you talked about the market still being competitive, you know, is it Hutch? Is it Bolt? I mean, who exactly is kind of causing the problem at the lower end? I mean, some color around that would be very useful. Thank you so much.
All right, hi, Chris again from Celcom. Yeah, it's an interesting question on the sluggishness state of the industry over the last three quarters. And your question is data, the turnaround mechanism that can mitigate some of the decline that we've seen. I think I'd like to take a step back and just, you know, look at two key areas really, which hopefully will be able to give a little bit more, you know, guidance or at least color on the situation. One of them is more from a macro perspective. I mean, this year we have seen a slight, you know, squeeze, I suppose, in the consumer wallet with certain of the traditional subsidies, especially around fuel and petrol, being taken away. So I think generally, you know, from a macro perspective, there has been a slight tightening on consumer spend in certain areas. And I would think from a market perspective, that is one area that hopefully we're starting to see a bit of stabilization as well. The second point is predominantly around pricing and the pricing being offered in the market. And, you know, we have seen some aggressive pricing through some of the non network operators, but more from the MVNOs. This has obviously caused a bit of disruption, I'd say, in the market in 2014. Do we see that carrying forward into 2015? There is a possibility. However, we are also optimistic that we'll start seeing some stabilization on that front because it needs to be sustainable at the end of the day. So I think from an industry standpoint, going back to what we were talking about earlier, yes, it has been sluggish, but I think similar guidance to what we have with regards to Cellcom is the way we'd see it for the industry. And we, you know, I think cautiously optimistic would be the best approach at this stage as we start heading in towards the back end of Q4 and the start of 2015 moving forward.
Wim, on Indonesia again.
Yeah, so with regards to the third quarter results, I think if you compare Telkomsel, Indosat ourselves, first of all, I think Telkomsel, Indosat have been slightly more aggressive in trying to bring data prices up than we have been. And the reason that we have been slightly less aggressive is that we definitely do not want to be caught by the same challenge as in, let's say, late 2012, where we were increasing prices too much against market trends. So I think we have made several times the point that longer term we do want to see data prices go up in this market. So from that perspective, we definitely I feel very encouraged with what we've seen from Telkomsel and Indosat. There, where possible, we will try to do the same, but we will do so carefully. And apparently, looking at the third quarter results, I think Telkomsel and Indosat have probably been slightly more aggressive on the pricing front than we have been. That's one. Second, and I think I made this point in our Q3 results call. For if you look at the network rollout numbers over the last 12 to 15 months, we have built out relatively few 3G sites because we have quite a couple of thousand 3G sites that we can redeploy from Axis. So we did not want to invest in something that essentially we already paid for through the acquisition. Those sites are now being switched off, and in the next couple of quarters you will see that they are going to be redeployed. So the consequence of that is that in some cases there were data market was growing that we did not have presence yet while waiting for our 3G footprint to be expanded. Then the last question on who is competitive, I would say everyone, because there is no such thing as one price that is going up or one price that's going down. Everyone has lots of different prices on lots of different packages. So what you see across the board, and let's say it's not different for Telkomsel as for Indosat, as for Hertz, as for us, in some areas and on some packages you actually see that prices are going up. In other areas or on other packages you see that prices are going down. So competitive pressure, I think, is being felt across the board, depending on which area or region you are in, from, I would say, all of the players.
Thank you, sir. If I might follow up, you're halfway through the, I guess, fourth quarter. Do you get comfort that, you know, the third quarter trends where you saw this disruption has kind of cleaned itself out and you potentially are seeing, I guess, better discipline in data pricing or better subscriber churn numbers coming through?
I think so far results are tracking as expected, so I think that's fine. October was okay, November was a bit weaker, but all in all, I think okay. However, I think we are not really managing this business for short-term results. I think what is important is that the longer-term sustainability. So let's say what we are definitely not going to do is some very short-term knee-jerk reactions on pricing. Because let's say if you are too aggressive, then the next thing that happens is that you're going to face pressure on your subscriber base and on your volumes. So whatever it is that we are going to do, I think will be quite gradual. But for Q4, I think so far so good.
Understood. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Roshan Raj from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions from me. One is on Celcom and the Malaysian market. Just in terms of the recent trends that you'd have seen, are the MVNOs kind of stepping down in terms of being aggressive on pricing? And if not, what do you think could make them more rational in 2015? That's for Malaysian market. And for the group level capex guidance, which is for 4.4 billion, 9 months is tracking at 2.7. So is it likely that you end up spending less than guidance, or there's likely to be more spending in 4Q? And extending further out in 2015, how should one look at the capex for the group level? Any big picture view will be very helpful. Thank you.
Hi, thank you very much for the question. Chris again from Celcom. With regards to MVNO pricing and stability thereof, I think, you know, this year where we have really seen the most aggressive pricing coming through is from U-Mobile. But I think that there's always a inflection point or reflection point at the end of the day about sustainability around aggressive pricing. So I think at this stage, the only operator or MVNO in the market that has taken the stance is U-Mobile, and we don't see it being sustainable for the medium to long term. But for the short term, it can be disruptive.
Okay. On your capex question, our still guideline still stays at 4.4. I think they generally Q4 the spend is slightly higher. You know, that's a time when the suppliers normally push stuff, and then we capitalize. And we've always seen some spike in Q4, so we're still keeping it at 4.4. For next year guidance, it's slightly premature, but to give you a flavor, it will be probably in line with what we spent this year.
Okay, just one follow-up on the U-Mobile. Could you share any ballpark number of what kind of market share and subscriber share and then revenue share U-Mobile has this point of time?
We don't have the exact numbers for U-Mobile, but we were estimating that they are currently getting less than 1% of the industry in terms of their market size. But because of the aggressiveness in terms of their pricing, they actually have a lot of impact, although they are a very small player in the market. That's where the challenge is, in terms of, especially in terms of quarter three. There were a lot of, they made a lot of aggressive pricing stunts, especially in terms of IDD, where we consciously have actually put our MVNO forward to actually compete with them in that area. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
On the capex side, just one minor with the data leadership that we are going after for next year, it'll be either the same or slightly more than what we spend this year. So that's a minor change to what I said earlier. Thanks.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Wei Shi Wu from BNP. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Three questions from me. So if I look at the Celcom performance, it seems like you guys are losing subscribers across both postpaid as well as prepaid in the third quarter. What exactly is driving that subscriber loss? And secondly, on Celcom, the margins have slipped a little bit. So if we did deeper into the underlying cause, what would you attribute to the margin compression? And are you optimistic, based on fourth quarter to date, that things will improve going forward? And then thirdly, in Indonesia, how do you expect the recent tower sale to impact margins at XL going forward? Thank you.
Hi, this is Jennifer again. Just a small correction for the comment that I actually gave just now in terms of U-Mobile. The market size is about 4.5%. I quoted the wrong number in the previous comment.
Okay, hi. Chris here. All right, on the customers declining, it's a very interesting scenario because we are in a very saturated market, so there is quite a transient movement of customers but between all the operators. And we have seen quite a lot of stabilization in our customer base if you take it over the average over this year. I think key thing for us is we do monitor the traffic patterns and the usage per customer. And at this stage, we're not seeing any decline in that. So it means the customers we're losing are not necessarily the customers that are potentially the higher ARPU customers or users of our network. But obviously, as we move forward now with being able to launch new products and get a bit more stability in the back-end systems, we would hope that we'd see a lot more stability in our customer base going forward as well. With regards to margin pressure, I think that the key area that we've seen a change is really in, if you look into some of the details in our revenue mix over the last couple of quarters, and we have seen quite a big growth in certain revenue areas, for example through some of our MVNO partners, which do come at a lower margin than your traditional core voice and SMS business and your branded products. Will we see some stabilization there? Well, we are hopeful, and we are obviously pushing for the growth, as we've been mentioning before, in key revenue areas that are underneath the Cellcom branded products, and data is the key mechanism there. And with the launch, as mentioned by Dada Jamal earlier, that we eventually had on October 16th of our first prepaid product in the last year, we've seen very good uptake and activations with regards to that, so hopefully that's a good sign of what we can be expecting going into Q4 as we move forward. So from a margin pressure perspective, I think with the stabilization in systems, when, we've had some, it's not minor surgery, we've had almost some major surgery, and it takes a while to recover. But as we said, we're cautiously optimistic and it's looking good, but Q4 could still be a little bit under pressure, but I wouldn't say it would be any worse than where we are. It should be better than where we are based on what we're seeing today.
Wim or Adlan, can you answer on Indonesia?
On the tower sale, I think we have announced this in our previous con call and our previous announcement on tower sale. The impact of on EBITDA margin is approximately 2%.
And presumably that's not been reflected in the third quarter numbers?
We will actually close the deal by end of the year, right? So I think the full impact of the tower sale would be felt in 2015.
Okay, thanks very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Niraja Natarajan from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, thanks for the opportunity. My question is once again on Malaysia, sorry to persist. If I see like postpaid versus prepaid trends, it looks like the postpaid trends have been a lot weaker. So are you seeing competition from U-Mobile in this area or is there something else going on here? That's my first question. And secondly, just on the postpaid side once again, what your competitor has actually started charging for excess data. Is that something on one of its plans? Is it something that you're actively looking to do? And can you tell us where is the average usage at the moment on the postpaid side of things? Thank you.
All right, hi, yes. Good questions, and you are correct. Yes, on the postpaid side, we have seen stabilization with a slight decline Q on Q from quarter one. I think key impact there, yet again, is going back to the IT transformation and the ability to launch any new products or services in the postpaid area. So as mentioned, we've launched in October in prepay, and that has been successful so far. And we are now looking at launching some products in the post-pay space, which will hopefully then be able to give us that stability that we need and also create a bit more excitement around some of the products that we have in the post-pay offering and portfolio at the moment. So we are targeting that before the end of Q4, but other than I can't say too much, obviously, around that. But I think that's the key reason why we've seen a slight decline in our postpaid numbers, as well as our postpaid subscribers. I'll hand over to Jen quickly on the excess data charges. Yeah.
Okay. In terms of postpaid, we have launched a new product for prepaid in October, and we are planning to launch a new product for postpaid in quarter four this year. On one hand, we would like to make more money in terms of charging excess, usage of excess data to the customers. But on another hand, we want to make sure that it's actually competitive and it's something that the customer actually wants. We are reviewing that, and potentially there could be an area that we could be monetizing in. But we are going to be more cautious because I think the last thing we want is that we start charging the customer and the customer is going to be dissatisfied because there is a big change here, because from throttling, where the speed is affected, now if you start to charge pay-per-use, we have to make sure that there's no bill shock to the customer as well.
All right. Thanks. If I may just add one more question. On Excel side, for redeployment of the access sites, how long will that take?
I think we are working on it as we speak. So we have now switched off, I would say, probably 60% of the access network already and dismantled. So redeployment, I think the major part of what we're going to redeploy, I think, is going to be redeployed in the next two quarters, so this quarter and Q1 2015.
All right. Thanks very much.
Next question comes from the line of Navin Killer from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I had two questions. One is, could you just help us understand a little bit more about this IT issue that you're talking about at Celcom? what exactly does it constrain you in terms of, and what is the driver of this? And, are you pretty comfortable that all of these issues are now completely resolved? So that's one. And then secondly, I guess, at a group level, how do you look at, particularly given that, obviously earnings this year could be under pressure, so how should we look at your dividends, either in terms of payout or absolute, ringgit cents? How should we look at your dividends for this year and going forward? Thank you.
Okay. This is something to understand the IT issues, to understand what we're trying to do in the first place. If you don't mind, let me go back 2 years ago when we embarked on this whole major transformation program on IT. We decided that we will want to leapfrog all our competitors in terms of our service capabilities across the board for prepaid and postpaid at the customer level, at the customer services level, and also at the dealers level. We also wanted to have a modernized system where we can have a single view of a customer regardless of their accounts or products that they have with us. So, among others, those were the intention. So what we did was to completely revamp 8 to 9 major subsystems under the those affected by or those affecting the customer, all the BSS or CRM applications. So that was the intention. Now, for example, to give more color to it, when customer were to activate their postpaid, used to be 5 minutes, we wanted to be 2 minutes, for example. Those in prepaid activation, 2 minutes, we wanted to do in in 30 seconds and to change SIM from a couple of minutes to less than 2 minutes and so on and so forth. That's what we intended to do. Now, along the way, we had a couple of minor problems when we cut over sometime in the third quarter last year for prepaid. But I guess we made a mistake for cutting over too fast, having seen some of the problems, and then we still cut over the postpaid in May this year. So essentially, not only some of the system had some teething problems, but those were not the issue. The issue were some of the data corruption that has happened since we converted from the previous system to the new system, and coupled with the interfaces between the IT systems and the network systems. Whatever we do on IT system has to, quote-unquote, talk to the Ericssons and the network equipment and the like. So those are some of the problems we face. So the subsystems, the interfaces with the network, and also some of the data corruption. So we struggled with that for a while, for a couple of months actually, trying to recover. It is very, very complex. On one hand, we could have done better. In fact, not on one hand, we definitely could have done better in terms of the cutover and the timing. But I guess we were trying, we couldn't launch major products for the last easily 9 months to a year. And we were so keen to launch new products, and we thought we could manage this simultaneously. We were wrong. So that didn't happen, and we struggled with it, as you know. But on the positive side, in second quarter, when we told everyone that we should be able to resolve by third quarter latest, we did. That's the good news. And we told everyone that we had to regain, however, the confidence of dealers and customers, perhaps not completely, but I think we're making a lot of inroads due to perhaps our roadshow that we have done across the country. And also, we had to do a bit of some intensive programs for the dealers to win them back. But so far, so good. More importantly, we are now be able to launch new product full blast very quickly, not just what we did last month with prepaid for postpaid and maybe new products in the future. That includes all the data-related products, data-led products, and so on and so forth. So I hope I've given you a bit more color to the issues we face at Celcom. Navin?
Yes, thank you.
And on the group level question?
Yeah, Navin, the other question is around dividends. Again, a little premature to make any comments at this point in time because it requires board approval and all this stuff. But fundamentally, the principle is very simple that we want to give progressively increasing dividends subject to our performance and potential investments in any M&A type of activity. On the face of it, the normalized PATAMI margins will be slightly lower than what we did last year. So on the face of it, there will be a reduction. However, again, we also want to be predictable. We need to take care of the shareholders' requirements and all this stuff. So this will be debated at the board, and I don't want to make any comments at this point in time. It's a little premature, I guess. I just shared the principles with you.
All I can say at this point in time is we will take into consideration the expectation of the shareholders and all investors vis-a-vis our past dividend payouts. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Prem Jaisinghe from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. Sorry, I'm going to go on a Celcom spree now. But first of all, Dr. Sri, you mentioned that you've launched new products and therefore you aim to win back the dealers. But history has shown us that dealers typically do things for money. So do we see a need to increase dealer commissions to get them to toe the line sooner rather than later? And if that is so, then what do you think the response may be from the competition? So that's one. Number two, just help me understand what the normalization for Celcom's EBITDA numbers are, because this number used to be sub 20 million per quarter 1 year ago, but now we're running at 70 to 80 million in terms of a normalization, and I just would like to get an understanding as to what has changed and why we are normalizing for it. And, you know, finally, with regards to, you know, where the competition is moving, you know, let's leave the MVNOs out of it, but even your larger two competitors and where they have gone over the last 3 to 4 quarters, do you foresee a Cellcom comeback being slightly more difficult, or do you think, you know, nothing has really changed and you can come back in 2 quarters to regain some of that lost revenue share?
Okay, thank you, Prem. On the dealer's commission, yes, we did. I think, as I mentioned earlier, we are pretty happy that we resolved the IT system, and that there's a toughest part, but at the same time, the easiest part, because once you solve, you solve them. But as admittedly, when we, last quarter we said that winning back dealers is not so easy, because it's, yes, you're right. There's such thing as money. It would motivate them, and also to be fair, you know, they had a couple of problems themselves during that they have faced with the customers because of our system. So we did increase our commission in fourth quarter. We are monitoring whether we still need to do that in next quarter. But so far, like I said, that has helped. But more importantly, to be fair, because the system is pretty stable and we are providing better services than ever before, we believe that it's a combination of both. We should be able to perhaps not even have any more increase the commission next quarter. So far so good, like I said, but it does take time to win over the dealers, and we are confident by this quarter, but worst case is by first quarter. Before I pass to Chris on the EBITDA numbers, the question with regards to our ability to strike back, like I said, we are cautiously optimistic. If we go by the first few weeks post post-system recovery, I would jump with joy saying that we could do a lot better than them. But I guess, you know, it's too early to say. We believe that the biggest issues are all behind us. We know exactly what to do on the system. We know exactly what to do with the dealers, and we know exactly what to do on the pricing side. And we are now able to actually do it because of our new system. So yes, we are cautiously optimistic to be able to gain back our market share in first quarter and definitely by first half next year. Chris?
Thank you.
Thank you, Devashri. So I think maybe just adding on with regards to the comeback, and I think from as going back to the earlier comments and earlier questions, from an industry point of view, I think we've seen a general slowdown, and hopefully we are at the tail end of that, and we can start seeing the industry and the growth factors starting to come through. And we are seeing that itself, Tom, so it is positive. On the normalization, to ensure that we obviously are comparable when we do comparisons across the industry, we've always had a normalization process with regards to certain key cost areas. One that has always been there and obviously will be in any company is any form of group recharges between companies. That's the same as what we've had before and pretty much in line with what we've seen previously. The other two key areas, one is around more in the digital services space with Escape and the developmental costs related to Escape. That is an item that we normalize out from a reporting perspective, and it is recorded primarily at a group perspective. But the key change, if we look at Q3 versus previously, is around E.co with regards to the towers and the tower sale and transfer to E.co. We normalize the cost of the incremental tower rental out of the accounts for a like-for-like comparison as though they were still within our books.
Could you help us understand how much Escape is and how much E.co is? It looks like it's about 40 for Escape and probably another 40
sure.
for E.co.
E.co is in the region of, if you just take it for the quarter, you're looking, and it wasn't for a full quarter, you're looking near about 50 million. And if you look, compare that against Q2, it's about 35 million more than Q2. Q2 was just the starting point. Escape, you could say around about 10 per quarter, 10 million per quarter. And then the group recharges are anywhere between 15, 20 million, depending on what we have.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Chin Chen Fun from BIMB. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. Three questions from me. Firstly, on Bangladesh, could you give us an update on the market status there? Is competition getting better or worse? And how do you expect revenues and your profits to trend in the coming quarters? Secondly, on Indonesia, with regards to what Wim said about more aggressive competition from the smaller players, can I just ask for a bit more color there? Is the competition only for data? And are these smaller players much more aggressive than Hutch? And do you think that it is sustainable? And once XL gets the go-ahead for LTE, would this also help to counter the pressure from the smaller players? And my third question, just a bookkeeping question on the for Celcom, with regards to the third quarter cost, I think there was a USP cost that was booked in the quarter that lowered your margins on a Q-on-Q basis. Can I just ask whether you still expect that to be booked in into the fourth quarter as well? Thank you very much.
Let me answer on Bangladesh. Certainly, if you look at the competition, the last three quarters versus last year, definitely, no doubt, it is definitely worse than last year, only because the biggest player itself came to free and get involved, reduce the price to the extent that it is very, very competitive. So the rest followed suit, and we had a pretty heightened competition, especially second quarter and also third quarter. In the coming quarters, will it fourth quarter and future, will it be our best assessment? It will not be much better, but definitely it cannot be worse than whatever we are facing today. So we believe at the same time our ability to compete should improve because we are investing recently quite heavily on our coverage and quality relative to before, and we do plan to invest quite aggressively next year to be able to compete and would do much better, we believe, than others. Let me pass to Wim on Indonesia.
Yeah, a couple of questions. I think competition is not specifically triggered by smaller players only. Like I outlined before, I think everyone has multiple packages and offers on the market and is operating with various regional prices. So competition is, in fact, across the board. So sometimes you find yourself competing with a bigger player, sometimes you find yourself competing with a smaller player. Right now, I would say the pressure from the new players like Bolt is not so relevant because their presence in the market is still very limited. Also, let's say, looking at Sinarmas, who has not yet launched LTE, obviously, competition from that angle is not existent, but is going to be there in the course of 2015. So, again, I think competition is across the board from all players, depending on the different geographical areas. Whether or not LTE will help, it may be. I think from Excel perspective, I think the most important point actually on LTE that we would want to make is that we find it very important that the regulator and minister are making sure that there is going to be an equal level playing field. Right now, there are parties who can do LTE already in the 2300. Bolt is one of them. Sinarmas is going to be the next one. From our perspective, I think we feel that it is very important that whoever would want to go into 4G would need to be able to do so time-wise at, let's say, the same point in time. Because the risk is, of course, that, let's say, one or two parties having LTE, whereas others are not yet having it, that could trigger changes in the competitive landscape. So whether or not it's going to help us going forward to compete on data, best case, Maybe yes, but I think it's too early to say. I think our LTE focus is now really on getting BRTI and Minister to ensure that there is going to be an equal level playing field public after LTE.
Yeah, hi. On the USP question, traditionally what we see is Q3, Q4, quite a number of the projects that have been awarded will start being delivered. Also, as you start ramping up towards 2015. So I think the expectation for Q4 will be similar to Q3, but it does depend on final delivery schedules during December as we move forward. But it should be similar.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
The next question comes from the line of Arthur Pinder from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions. Firstly, on Celcom, do you think the revenue pressure in the industry is driven mainly by competition, or is it really because of the evolution of new alternatives like voice and SMS substitution due to OTT? Are we seeing the traffic basically go to the OTTs or to competitors such as U-Mobile? Second question I had is, what can be done to drive back growth in Malaysia? Thank you.
Hi, yeah. I think when, you know, just looking back and some of the questions we've had before, I think some of the revenue pressure is not necessarily just industry-based. We need to look at the macro impact aspect at the moment in the last year. I do think that heightened competition and pricing in the market has obviously had an impact on the industry this year. So I think the stabilization of those two factors will obviously lead and give a good foundation going forward for a lot more growth to be coming, positive growth to be coming versus the negative growth as an industry that we've seen up to the end of Q3. However, you know, I wouldn't want to speak for the whole industry because I think it is always slightly unpredictable, not always having information on every operator. But I think from a Celcom perspective, we would hope Q on Q that Q4 would be more positive than what we've had in Q3, and that we have obviously seen the trough or bottoming out really of the long tail that we've had from Q1. So I hope that answers your question. But I think from an industry perspective, there are a few dynamics that need to fall into place. And for ourselves, it's the macro fundamentals with regards to tightening of the consumer wallet and spend. And secondly, is just pricing strategies and sustainability of those within, especially some of the MVNOs.
I'm Jennifer here. If I may add, sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
If I may add a big comment in terms of the whether you know, the OTT has got some impact to the revenue. I think in full honesty, there is impact because when we actually see the drop in terms of voice, especially in terms of SMS, we see that the drop in terms of the two main core services that we have, although we have got massive growth in terms of data revenue, the data revenue growth was not, the incremental from the data revenue growth was not able to match the loss that we actually have actually suffered in terms of voice and SMS. But on another hand, I'm a bit more optimistic in the sense that because in the last few quarters we have not managed to launch any new products. Without any new products, we still managed to gain very good growth in terms of data revenue. So with the launch of new products, hopefully that will actually manage to offset the losses that we are actually experiencing in terms of SMS better in the future when we actually have got the new products.
Maybe I should add from a more industry perspective, if you look at what the European, the more developed countries have done, the way they have bundled the voice, SMS, and data, if you look at our industry in Malaysia, we have not done enough of that. Recently, Maxis have done a bit of that. We are doing a bit only recently on prepaid, but I think the industry has not fully not fully launched a bundle of products to be able to address this issue. But I'm very optimistic that it was just a matter of time when we can bundle and be able to mitigate the reduction in voice services and increase data. And related to that is that, you know, we've been asking ourselves whether our data pricing is a bit on a too low side as an industry. So, you know, I can't be very sure whether we should increase the price much higher than what we have today, but certainly that's something that we are reviewing.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from the line of Stephen Liu from Standard Chartered Bank. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. I have just one question on your CapEx. Can you give me some color which area will be investing more in next year, as in 4G or 3G, and by market will be investing more in Malaysia or Indonesia or other markets? Thank you.
Okay, good question on the CapEx piece of it. It depends on the country. If you look at Malaysia, Celcom, data leadership is going to be important for us, so there will be a fair amount of investment that we will do on LTE. And if you see Indonesia, 3G coverage is important for Sri Lanka, and Robi, again, 3G is going to be extremely important, so there will be a fair amount of money that we'll be spending on 3G. For Robi, Indonesia, we'll also be spending money on 2G because voice is still a big market for us there. And as far as smart is concerned, it'll be more data-oriented, 3G-oriented. But what we are also trying to do is to sort of shift some of those money into IT. We don't want to be just spending on network alone without spending on IT. In some countries where the billing systems are slightly old, we are thinking in terms of also changing those billing systems to accommodate the data-led revenue. So hope that gives you a flavor. It varies from country to country, OpCo
okay.
to OpCo.
Yeah, thank you. Can I have a follow-up on IT? I think your IT system in Malaysia should be one of the most advanced across the region. So would you like to also implement the IT, a similar system across other subsidiaries going forward?
I think we would want to wait a little more for Celcom to sort of stabilize. And once it stabilizes, yes, that's the intention, is to sort of bring about some of the best-in-class practices and learning, both good and bad, to the others so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's
okay.
some cross-learning
okay,
and all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Piyush Mubayi from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you. And my questions may have been answered, but still, I just wanted to ask the question again to better understand. What's the difference in the new prepaid plan that was launched in October 16? That's the first question. The second is, with regards to the changes that you've made to your prepaid platform, what exactly, is there a new prepaid platform that's been put in place? Who's the vendor? And are you sure that the issues you've had in the past will not recur? Thank you.
Hi, this is Jennifer here again. I'll just give you a quick overview as to what is the change in terms of the prepaid plan that we actually just launched in October, on the October 16th. Prior to this, we are already quite different from the market because we have always priced our calls, our voice call per call rather than per minute. And this time we have even changed it a little bit more to make it easier for the customers to understand. And we try to be a bit more data-centric as what Dr. Jamal has mentioned before. What we have given in this new package is that we gave a 10 free 10s, which is free. One is that we gave the first 10-second voice call free. Of course, it's on net again. And then the second one is that we give 3 times 10 minutes access, free access in terms of data to the customers, and also 10 free games for the customer. That's the new product that we have actually launched on the 16th of October, which is very different from what we have given before because we realized the importance of data. Hence, we actually give 10 minutes free data for the customers to use.
I think with regards to the systems, we haven't replaced our IN, if that's what you're asking. However, we have put together a front-end platform that basically is the master aggregator at the end of the day of business flows and business rules across the various systems to ensure a flexibility to be able to change charging on products, but also having, as Dada Jamal mentioned, one reference point and one touch point for customer information across the various platforms that are downstream systems on top of the BSS. But when we look at the charging and billing element of it, why we are able to now offer products that are semi-hybrid with regards to the flexibility on charging per second, really, so per 10 seconds versus per minute, et cetera, we never had that flexibility before. And it's now because we are a lot more interlinked on the downstream systems, for example, your PCRF, your EMMA. I don't want to get into the details, but there's a lot more synergy between the systems versus a lot more horizontal synergy versus just vertical systems standing by themselves. So I think it's not a replacement, it's a refinement and a re-engineering of what we have and putting a new front end on the top for one point of access and one point of information viewing.
Maybe I should clarify further. The IN, no change in IN, with no change in billing system itself, but there are about 8-9 subsystems with regards to what we call under category of BSS. So I mentioned a couple of examples with regards to the service level that we can provide now. But another way of looking at it, we used to, for every customer transaction in front of we have to serve customer, it used to be a couple of screens or subsystems that we have to go through all the way to, if I can recall, 22 subsystems or 22 screens from different systems. Now we can do all in one system, one screen. So that's just an example, the magnitude of changes we have made on the BSS. So it's the BSS system, not the IN platform. In the vendor for this whole thing, predominantly Oracle, and Accenture being the system integrator. Will it happen again? We don't think so. We still have, if at all, minor teething issues which will not affect customer service, but perhaps back end. But again, those are mostly resolved.
May I just ask then whether this is also available? I guess your postpaid business has already got the flexibility to see different billing solutions being offered. Am I right in assuming that?
Say that again, please.
This is a tweak that you made to the prepaid plans. I presume the postpaid always had that flexibility.
No, on the postpaid plans, we don't have a fully converged system at the moment, but we do have the ability to launch semi-hybrid products is what we're targeting now at the back end of Q4. But the plan in 2015, after stability, you don't want to be changing the full front end and then doing additional changes in the back end. The plan in 2015 is probably to further enhance on some of those back-end downstream systems under BSS.
Yeah. I think one feature of talking about product flexibility is the one product catalog that is one of the major benefits of the system, meaning, we don't have to change the entire system. There's a product catalog. We can pick and choose what product we want and make some changes, and we can launch very fast from months to weeks, and some of them even days.
All right. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Arjas Raman from HSBC. Please.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. This is Rajesh from HSBC. I have three questions. Firstly, on the BSS, you mentioned, lower activation time for the customers and, other kind of improvements. So would it be fair to say that your IT system now compares well to your competitors, or would you say that it's even better than your competition? Secondly, on the XL Tower sale, should we be expecting any one-off gains to be booked in the fourth quarter that will impact your reported profits? And lastly, any update you have on EDOTCO and any possibility of monetization of tower assets that you foresee in the next 12 months? Thank you.
on the first question, after going through all the pain and the money we spend, it got to be better than competitors. It is better. We have done a bit of benchmarking. It is better than our competitors. Now, the proof of the pudding, of course, our ability to launch new products faster in the future. And even today, when you look at the kind of services turnaround time that we could do, it's a lot better than competitors. So, yes, it is better than competitors.
Okay.
Wim, Adlan on the XL Tower sale?
We expect to complete the tower sale by end of this year. Yes, you're right. There would be we would be recognizing the gain on sale of tower by quarter four this year, right? So there probably a one-off gain.
And the third question of EDOTCO monetization, there are no plans for the next 12 months. The objective initially is to sort of improve processes within the organization and make sure that it is a lot more efficient before we think about monetization. Monetization is secondary for us. Primarily, we want to bring in some discipline processes to drive costs down and CAPEX down.
And then we'll be up.
And also it's necessary for us to go and improve the co-location ratio for each of those towers to go and drive incremental profitability for that unit. And once it's running well, then we'll think about monetization later.
There are no further questions at this time. We now pass the call back to Dato' Sri. Please continue, sir.
Thank you again for joining us for this third quarter performance results. We really appreciate all the questions. We hope we have answered all the questions. Again, as usual, are there additional questions to be answered? We are very willing and happy to answer all of them offline through our IR team. Thank you very much, and good afternoon.